And now he shifts gears because he makes this statement that is insane to our flesh. He gives this great good news in verses 1 and 2, and everyone shouts amen. Everyone's saying it's time to partay in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he gets to verse 3, and he goes, and not only that, we glory in our tribulation. Has Paul lost his ever-loving mind? He either really believes this, or he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, amen? I mean, this is amazing. How on earth do you get to the point in your life? How do I get to the point in my life where I can say, oh, and not only that, but I glory in the disappointments of life? How do you get to the point in your life where you say, oh, I'm going to praise the name of the Lord in the midst of the pain? How do you get to the point in your life where you can say, oh, God's not going my way, but I know this, I'm going His way? How do you get there? The only way to get there is to be truly converted.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day of the Word. We pray that God is going to move mightily as we spend this time together. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, looking at verses 3 through 4, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Suffering Joyfully and Reaping Its Rewards.
Father, as we come before you today in the stillness of this room, oh God, we just want to praise your name. God, I pray that we would have hearts right now that just desire to abandon everything, to renounce everything, and that all we want is you. Because God, we know that you're more than enough. So Father, I just pray a simple prayer here today that would you speak in a remarkable way that when we leave here today, we will know we heard from you. So God, just move me out of the way. I pray you use my brokenness to be a vessel for you. Do it in such a way right now that we would just fall madly in love with your Son. And from this point on, that we'd be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And oh God, we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be looking at a couple verses today that I pray will encourage you, as always, strengthen you, and as always, I pray will challenge you to be on fire for Jesus. Because we need, as we just attested to in our time of worship, we need people that are warriors of the cross of Jesus Christ and not pew sitters. We need people that are on mission for His mission and not trying to talk Him in to being on their mission for them. And we need people that are truly on fire for the Lord like never before. And I believe that so much of what the enemy does in our culture today and what he's doing in the church today and what he does in our own lives today is that he wants to take what's going on in your life today to dissuade you. He wants to take your pain and take your hurt and your sorrow and all your disappointments. And he wants you to focus on those things and to not look to Jesus. And boy, it's easy to do, isn't it? Yeah. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to see the waves of the sea And Jesus says, come to me. It's so easy to see Him and know He's there and to begin walking towards Him. But man, the flesh is weak and the mind is willing, but the body is weak. And it's so easy to bend. It's so easy to buckle. It's so easy to break. But as Jesus says, come to me, it's just so easy to cast our mind to our troubles. That's why I believe the Word today will strengthen you greatly in Romans chapter 5. And it simply says this in verse 1. Therefore, or in light of what was just said in the preceding verses, having been justified or declared righteous, don't miss that, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we could pause there and like camp out there for the rest of our lives and just sing and shout amen. Amen? I mean, that's glorious, isn't it? Let me read that one more time. This is our launching point as we go into our text today. Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people today are hungering and thirsting for the peace of God, but you got to understand, if you're ever going to have the peace of God, you first have to have peace with God. There's no way to have the peace of God apart from the peace with God. You got to have with before you can have of. And the only way that's going to happen is through the royal righteous blood of King Jesus. There is no other way that you can be saved. It's only by Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The text goes on and says, through whom we also have access, we're able to approach. That's glorious, isn't it? By faith into this grace in which we stand. Don't miss that. Not just arbitrary words thrown in there, but we stand because Christ stood for us on that cross when He conquered sin, death, and the grave could no longer hold the king. And therefore, we are now sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand with Him in victory. And we rejoice, it says, in the hope of the glory of God. Now, here's our two verses for today. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Paul's messing around now, isn't he? Like, he's messing with our soapbox, isn't he? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Lastly, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And may God add His blessings to the reading of His holy, inspired, inerrant word. Amen? This sin-shattering death through the royal righteous blood of Jesus Christ has set you free from you. It has set you free from the enemy of self. And we all have this depraved wickedness in us. But when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ in true repentance, in true humility, God will take that prideful, wicked heart. He will completely shatter it, wreck it, break it. And then what He does is He takes that royal blood of Jesus and pours it over that heart and pours it into that heart. And that heart is no longer the same. See, Paul knew this. Paul's writing here to these folks in Rome. And as Paul is writing, you got to remember the context that Paul had a very difficult life post-conversion. Paul's a great example that just because you come to Jesus, we're not floating around on clouds, eating bonbons, playing harps, singing kumbaya, and wearing Christian t-shirts. Amen? Paul's a glorious example that the road to the cross is the road that's marked with suffering. that so many times the closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. Paul says this, that we've been declared righteous. We have this peace, and we're all hungering for peace. We're all searching for that contentment. We all have a content meter, and so many times our content meter's on empty. And we're looking for something to dull the pain and fill the void. And we stuff things in there. And Paul says this, that the only way you're going to have the peace of God is to have peace with God, and that's for Jesus Christ, that He declares you, that He stamps you righteous. That you've been totally forgiven at the cross. And then Paul does what Paul does. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he completely shifts gears. You get to verse 3 after he told us in verse 2 that we have access, that when that veil was torn, when the veil was torn, man, we have a straight shot to the Father, don't we? We no longer go through a human priest. We go through our great high priest, whose name is Jesus. And when we go to Him with that direct shot to the Father, Paul says now, and not only that, and now he shifts gears. Because he makes this statement that is insane to our flesh. He gives this great good news in verses 1 and 2, and everyone shouts amen. Everyone's saying it's time to partay in Jesus. And then all of a sudden he gets to verse 3 and he goes, and not only that, we glory in our tribulations as Paul lost his ever-loving mind. He either really believes this or he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Amen? I mean, this is amazing. How on earth do you get to the point in your life? How do I get to the point in my life where I can say, oh, and not only that, but I glory in the disappointments of life? How do you get to the point in your life where you say, oh, I'm going to praise the name of the Lord in the midst of the pain? How do you get to the point in your life where you can say, oh, God's not going my way, but I know this, I'm going His way? How do you get there? The only way to get there is to be truly converted. The title of this message is simply this, if you're taking notes. And it's going to sound strange, but here it is. Suffering joyfully and reaping its rewards. Suffering joyfully and reaping its rewards. Paul says, and not only that, I love how he adds that on there. He's like he's saying, look, this has been really good, but the Holy Spirit has told me to tell you in verses 1 and 2. But man, I got to add something else that is also as powerful. And here it is. And not only that, we're going to glory in our tribulations. It literally means the word glory. It means this, to boast in the Lord. Like in the midst of his pain, here's Paul's life, shipwrecked, abandoned, beaten. He had rocks thrown at him, right? Yeah. Anytime someone throws rocks at you, they're not complimenting you, in case you were wondering, right? Like if you leave here today, they're throwing rocks at you. Don't go, hey, that's great. Hey, I like you too, right? No, they're probably, something's not good. Something's not jiving, right? In your world, their world. Hopefully, they see too much of Jesus in you. They're walking in darkness. They're offended. And so they're throwing rocks at you. That's what happened to Paul, right? I mean, he had a hard life. Jesus warned him, though, in Acts 9, Damascus Road, I've chosen you as a divine vessel of mine to suffer much for my name. And so here it is, and Paul knows the mission. He's steadfast to the mission. He's not going to bend, buckle, nor break. He's going to stiffen his spine as he presses on towards the high call in Christ Jesus, his Lord. And here's what he does. He says this, reader, don't miss. And not only this, because we all want the good stuff of life, don't we? Man, we all love Jesus when things are going well, don't we? Woo! We're like, praise Jesus, two hands up, two feet up, the whole deal, right?
We're just praising Jesus. And then the storms of life hit. It's not if they're going to hit, it's when. And they begin to pound our sails. They begin to beat us into submission. The world's trying to conform us into it. And God says, oh, be conformed not to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That you're conformed, Romans 8:29, to the likeness of Jesus Himself. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. See, we've got to cast our mind away from the world and cast our mind to Calvary.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
That's why key number one, write this down if you have something to write with. Key number one. I will never get to where God desires to take me if I continue to play it safe. Let me say this one more time to make sure you're hearing it, and then I'm going to explain it. Key number one, I will never get to where God desires to take me if I continue to play it safe. What do I mean? Well, as we talked about in our time of worship today, and we sang about that, we know we run to the book, don't we? We run to the book. Not self-help, not another book in our culture, not a TV talk show, not some psychologist that may be a big name in the news. No, we run to the book. And when we run to the book, it's the book that holds us up, doesn't it? So many people in our culture, they say, why aren't you bringing a Bible to church? Well, it's one more thing to carry, which I respond, do you understand? It's the one thing that's going to carry you. I will never get to where God desires to take me if I continue to play it safe. Think about these guys in the book who lived this, radiated it, and oozed it. Job. Let's start with an easy one. Job. A real easy one, right? We'll start with Job. You know the story of Job. Job had everything. Matter of fact, he was walking so closely with God that God goes to Satan and says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Thanks, God, right? It's like, where's the clipboard on your front row of your church to sign up for that committee, right? I want to be on the Satan committee that he's going to come after me and just basically devastate me. Yeah, you know the story. He's got it all, and yet God graciously, for His sovereign purposes, allows great pain into his life. And he loses it all. And yet Job on the front end can say this, the early part of the book there, he can say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And he just finished right there, right? He just said, you know, the Lord gives, He takes away, period, done. No, you know what he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he's glorying in his tribulation. He's boasting in the Lord. He's magnifying Him and making much of Him, because we know this, that when Christ is high and lifted up, the Word says this, He will draw people to Himself. We're not going to convince people and twist arms. Now we just lift up the name of Jesus. When He's high and lifted up, that's when the scales begin to fall from the heart and the mind and the soul. That's when it becomes real. When you have a personal encounter with a human man, you won't be saved. But when you have a personal encounter with the man, His name is Jesus, it's impossible to leave that encounter not changed. When it's real, when it's true, and when there's that repentance as you've come to that cross of Jesus Christ. I love what Job said in Job 13:15. He says, though He may slay me, yet I will trust in Him. Isn't that good? What a great verse to write on the tablet of your heart and your mind and your soul right now. That as you go out into the workplace tomorrow, or you go visiting here, whatever's going on in your world, wherever you're going, that you can just simply proclaim, though he may slay me, yet I will trust in him. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to break. Because I know who holds my tomorrow. I know who holds my today. And I know who's redeemed my past. Therefore, we walk in freedom because those who the Son has set free are free indeed. Amen? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love those names. They're facing the fiery furnace. They're in Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18. Look at their response. These are guys who didn't play it safe. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Now look what they say here in verse 18. "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we worship the gold image which you have set up." I just love this. They have made a declaration on the front end of their trial to say, "Look, I know what's going on. I know you're saying bow down to this. And if you don't, things are going to get really, really hot. We get this. We understand this. But, O king, we don't serve you. We serve the real king. And we answer to him. And you can do whatever you want because we believe our God is able. We believe our God is able to come through in the midst of our pain. We believe that our God is able to come through at the midnight hour and do the only thing that he can do in the midst of the trouble and the torment and the heartache and the despair and the disappointment. We believe that God is able. Come. But if he chooses not to do that, let it be known to you, we're not going your way." What a great declaration for you and I today. That as the enemy comes at you today, maybe even right now, he's pounding you. He's pounding you right now, trying to bring up the past, trying to bring up your current troubles, trying to get you to have fear of the future. Wouldn't it be great today that you simply say, "Oh, Satan, by the royal righteous blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, that I believe my God is able. I believe he can deliver me and do whatever he needs to do in my life for his plan and for his purpose. But even if he decides not to go my way, oh, Satan, let it be known to you, I'm not going your way." That's a guy, that's a lady today who is not playing it safe. Think about Peter and the other apostles in Acts 5:29, one of my favorite verses. There they are, and they're getting beaten. They're out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all the religious folks, all the uppity-ups, they're saying, "Hey, you can't be doing this. We're going to beat you." They're like, "Okay, fine, do whatever you need to do. We're preaching." And so they call them over kind of in the corner, if you will, and they say, "Look, here's the deal. We're really serious. This is not going to go well for you physically if you decide to keep on doing this." And that's when Peter answers in 5:29. I love what he says. He says this simply, "We're going to obey God rather than you." Do you see what's going on here? Do you see on the front end of the equation, on the front end of the heartache? Because if you wait till you get in the struggle, if you wait till you get into the trial, if you wait till you're in the storm, so many times you won't go the way of Jesus. You will bend, you will buckle, you will break. But on the front end, you determine that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's amazing what God will do in your life. I love what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 22 through 24. Of course, Dr. Luke is writing this, but this is Paul's life. Listen to what it said there in Acts 20, 22 through 24. This is Paul not playing it safe. He says, "And see now, I go bound of the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except this, that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city." Don't miss that. "Saying that chains and tribulations await me." I mean, can you imagine? Pause there for a moment. You're going on a trip. Holy Spirit comes to you and says, "Hey, I got great news for you. Everywhere you go, every city, chains and tribulations are going to await you." You're like, "Woo, get in the car, honey. Let's go, right? Can't wait to start the road trip." Here's Paul's response to this. I love this. 24. Here's what Paul says. "But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself." Why? "So that I may finish my race with joy
and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Do you see this? Do you see this, church family, today? Paul could say this with confidence. He could say it with joy. Why? Because he understood. He understood the transaction that took place on Calvary. He understood it. Jesus said, here, I got a deal for you. You give me your sin, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. Man, that was a crummy deal for Jesus. Amen. Let's call that royal righteous imputing. The great transfer. You give me your sin, Jesus says, and I'll give you my righteousness. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit becomes to empower you in your life as you walk in Christ, as you become conformed to Him. There's now a confidence. There's now a boldness that the enemy, he slings his fiery darts, and he will. He will sling one quiver of fiery darts after another, trying to get you to bend, trying to get you to buckle, trying to get you to break. And you say, oh, none of these things move me, that I might finish my race with joy and be obedient to the call of God on my life. You think about Jesus, who didn't play it safe, the ultimate example. Could have called 10,000 angels, right? Could have said, hey, you know what? This is just not... I didn't really want to sign up for this. But what did Jesus do in Mark 14? I love this. In Mark 14, verse 42, great text. He simply says this, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. What's going on in that context? Well, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's got Peter, James, and John. Says, hey, you just come here with me. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. He says, look, sit here. You got one assignment. Sit here and pray. Once, twice, three times, asleep at the wheel, right? I mean, gone. And what does Jesus say? He knows his mission. He's not going to be deterred. He says, rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. Jesus Christ stared evil in the face. He knew why he was born to die. He knew that was the mission. That he came to this earth to be a sacrifice. That those who place their faith and trust in him truly will not perish, but have everlasting life.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.